Yeah.
So we'll start.
We're ready to go.
Yeah, ready to go.
Yeah.
So we're all talking.
Yeah.
I don't think I was.
Oh, they might.
Yeah.
Good part.
Yeah.
Good part. Okay. Everyone ready?
Yes.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, thanks everyone for joining us, and here to acknowledge some outstanding policing initiatives here in Cairns. And of course, everyone knows our local police here work very hard, but they also have very good partnerships with the community, partnerships which enhance community safety. And I'd like to acknowledge particularly Patricia from the local Chamber of Commerce for her involvement with not only community safety initiatives, but for encouraging the entire business community to work alongside the Queensland Police Service to enhance community safety. And one of the great partnerships we've got is also with the local council, where we're able to leverage off their CCTV network, leverage off their connections to enhance community safety. And one of the great things we've seen in recent times is, of course, the enhanced police presence around here, around the Esplanade and in the CBD. And that is making a difference to not only reducing criminal offending, but to enhancing feelings of safety. So I want to acknowledge everyone for their partnership and their input in contributing to community safety here in Cairns. But we're also here to celebrate a really exciting milestone in the delivery of one of our election commitments, and that is establishing a policing presence, a physical policing presence in Cairns West. I'm very happy to announce that we've secured the land, and now for the first time ever, we're releasing indicative pictures of what the facility may look like and also some plans of the layout. This is an exciting project for West Cairns, not only because it will enhance the policing presence through having a physical structure there, but this initiative, this facility, will actually support multi-agency approaches. So as we roll out the infrastructure in West Cairns, we'll also be looking at those partnerships again, where we can work alongside other government agencies so that police and other government agencies from this facility can deliver extra services right in the heart of where it's needed. So this is all about making sure that we continue to support our Queensland Police Service with the facilities they need, but also be innovative in the way that we deliver government services, and this facility will help us do that. Michael, I know you're very excited about this facility. You have been a strong advocate for an enhanced policing presence in the West Cairns area, so I'd like to acknowledge your support for this project, and I'd like to particularly acknowledge the Deputy Commissioner and the Chief Superintendent here for their leadership. These projects don't just happen, it requires strong leadership, and this is a project which will make a difference, and we're very excited to be investing in it. Michael?
Thank you very much, Minister, and good morning everybody. It's terrific. We've had a very busy parliamentary week. It was terrific to spend some time on the plane with the Minister and to talk in detail about the challenges that we face in our community. It has come as no surprise to anybody that I am acutely aware of the challenges that we face, and I know that we need to ensure that our police service needs to be resourced. I have to say from the outset, I want to commend and acknowledge the outstanding work done by Queensland Police, particularly in our region. I know these men and women personally, their commitment, they are part of our community, they make a significant contribution, and sometimes I don't think it's all that well recognised, so I want to say that from the outset. In addition to that, we know that we need to see an expansion of facilities and resources, and this commitment to West Cairns is going to be absolutely instrumental in dealing with the challenges as we move forward. As the Minister touched on, we are already seeing a decline in crime numbers, and a lot of that particularly in the area of youth crime, because there is a collaboration between government departments. And this is very positive, and we're sure that we will see this continue. And this facility will enable to see a greater engagement across those departments for great outcomes for the community. And I also want to acknowledge Tricia from the Chamber of Commerce. This has been an area of concern for our commercial operators in and around town. So her input has been terrific and enormously appreciated. I can't register strongly enough how important this is, and look forward to it being up and running. And I'll now hand over to the Assistant Commissioner.
Thank you,
Deputy Commissioner Paul Taylor for Regional Queensland. Great to be back here in Cairns on a beautiful day, and I was fortunate enough to run into a few tourists, one from America, who was singing the praises. You couldn't believe how beautiful it is in Queensland, and certainly her time in Cairns. Oh, she'll go back and be a great advocate for tourism in this part of the world. Can I also say that, you know, policing, we're always striving to do better. We're always trying to meet the demands of the community. And I've got to acknowledge there's some great work going on here in the Far North District, in particular in Cairns. And there's always more that can be done, but Operation Tango Sombrero, which started back on the 8th of February, has already seen 72 juveniles arrested for 227 charges. Now, that has contributed greatly to a reduction of over 30% in property crime financial year to date. So that is, when you look at the same day yesterday as the year before, there's 822 less homes that have been broken into. That's 822 families that haven't had to suffer the indignity of someone going through their house that's not from that household. There's been 138 cars less stolen. And there's been 521 cars less broken into. So they're great results. You know, one crime is a crime too many, so we're not singing our praises, but I'm saying we're heading in the right direction. And I've got to acknowledge the partnerships that have been formed here, and as has been pointed out by the Minister and the local member, there's been great leadership shown by the Chamber. Patricia's here today. A great leadership within the local community and from the local MP to make sure that the police are shaping their activities to meet what the demands of the tourism sector in particular is. So it's great to see the work that's going on here and the collaboration. In regards to the Cairns West facility, that's a great announcement. A $3 million investment in the community safety of Cairns West. And that will see a great facility where we can put our policing responses closer to where there's high demands, where there's a complex environment, and hopefully an opportunity for us to look at a collaboration with other government departments to really deliver services in a way that gets a great outcome. So thanks very much for coming here this morning, and more than happy to answer questions.
Just on the facility in Menora, do we have a timeline for when it's going to be up and running, fully functional, and what sort of facilities it will have?
Yeah, so what we've got there, we've got where the site is. The site's a prominent site, it's high visibility. Not quite sure how many cars go past, but it's highly visible. The picture you see up top is an indicative picture of what the facility will look like. It won't be exactly that, but that shows you what sort of facility will be there. Look, the timing is we need to demolish the two residents that are there at the moment. So we envisage that early next year we will start the program. It'll probably be about a 12-month build, depending on weather. But that will see a great opportunity, like I said, to shift our police response closer to Cairns West and really look at some of those complex needs from some of the people who are living out there to get a better outcome for them and hopefully a safer outcome for the community.
What are some of the crimes that have been committed in that area, and what will this, having the presence of this kind of facility, do for that suburb?
Oh, look, policing, a lot of it's about visibility, you know, and we got to make sure that the perception of crime within the community is around the reality. And sometimes you pick up the newspaper or read the news because of specific incidents which are over the top, particularly with youth offending. But the reality is crime's heading south. You know, like I said, if you're the one person that got broken into, well, we're not doing a good enough job. We understand that people that are victims of crime are hurting, and we're doing everything we can to target it. Can we do better? I'm sure we can, and that's why we're working in partnership, and we're asking the community to support us at every opportunity so we can really target those people that continue to prey on the community of Cairns.
How are police going in terms of targeting those high urgent
need offenders,
that
30% of those? The 10%? 10%. Oh, look, we're doing pretty good. You know, we can always do better. So it's a work in progress. You know, these kids lack guardianship. They lack parental support. And at every opportunity we get to put them before the court, that's what we're going to do. But just remember, that's the hard cohort of 10%. There's a lot of kids, roughly about the 90% of kids that we know, there's a lot of programs out there where we can turn kids around. We can prevent them from doing crime. We can point them in a direction where they're going to contribute positively to the community, not negatively, and that saves the community a fortune. So whilst we're enthusiastic on the 10%, we haven't forgot about the 90% and working with our partners to make sure that every opportunity to divert young people away, we're taking that opportunity.
Just on the facility, will there be new staff, new jobs, new police coming to town?
Well, as you know, there was a commitment, and the Minister might want to make comment, but there was a commitment prior to the last election in regards to staffing, and we anticipate that we'll, over time we'll get more staff. There's 150 to the region, and that's over several years. So, you know, we'll look at the staffing and rearrange, but you've got to remember that we've got staff at the moment that are policing out that area, but the issue is that they're travelling 10 minutes to get there, 10 minutes to get back. So a lot of it's about efficiency and making sure that we're shifting our capability to where the demand and the need is. And that's smart business, yeah, whether you're in policing or whether you're in any commercial activity.
And with these new patrols that are going to be happening around the Esplanade and CBD, how are they sort of unique to what's already kind of happening in the
morning? Oh, look, we've always tried, we recognise that the economy here in Cairns is built around tourism. And we're here to support tourism wherever we can. We want to make sure that when tourists come here, if they meet police or they have to deal with police, that it's a friendly face, it's accommodating face, that they feel safe. We want to make sure that the businesses are able to profit from tourism and not be victims of crime. So like I said, part of the program is they will survey the businesses after 6 months to have a look to see are we getting it right? Do we have to amend or adjust? And that's what we want to do. We want to shape so that we're contributing to the overall Cairns economy. Okay, thanks.
Anything else?
If Patricia does want to say something, but just reinforcing what the Deputy Commissioner said about extra resources coming to this region. So there's two things which will massively benefit police resourcing here in Cairns and the far north. The first one is actually splitting the northern region into two. So at the moment, well, we've essentially done it. We've essentially drawn the line on the map now. So we've gone back to the traditional split region where there's two regions, one based around Townsville called the northern region and the other one based around Cairns called the far north region. So a smaller region with a dedicated assistant commissioner here, and we've already announced assistant commissioner Brett Shafirius will be the first assistant commissioner for the newly re-established far northern region. But the other thing is there's an election commitment around delivering an extra minimum 150 police officers to the new far northern region. So a smaller region, but still getting 150 extra police officers over 5 years, backdated to the 1st of July last year. So a massive increase in policing resources, and also, of course, providing that additional senior leadership through a dedicated assistant commissioner in this new region.
Are there senior officers in Cairns and Townsville going to be working together in the future to really crack down on across both regions?
Yeah. Well, we've got experienced leadership right across the Queensland Police Service, and can I tell you, they meet regularly already to talk about strategies in each of their regions, how they can collaborate. If particular initiatives are needed, sometimes specialist officers are sent from one region to another to complement those special initiatives. So Brett Shafirius is a great networker. He's had time as the Assistant Commissioner based in Townsville, so I think he'll be very enthusiastic about working with the new Assistant Commissioner for Townsville, as well as also continuing to deliver great outcomes here in the new far northern region.
Some residents are sceptical about youth crime rates actually dropping across the far north. What can you tell us about these new police officers that will be deployed over the next 5 years to make sure we really do stamp out the young offenders and repeat offenders in our patch?
Well, part of rolling out these additional resources is also about supporting the Commissioner's vision around prevention and disruption. So actually allowing police through this extra capacity, as well as also through different policing strategies, to be more visible, to be more proactive. So they're in the places to prevent crime before it happens. Part of policing is not just about arresting offenders, it's about working with the community to enhance feelings of community safety, as well as also preventing crime. So these additional officers obviously will support the Commissioner's vision around proactive policing, preventing crime, but also send that message to the community that the Queensland Police Service is doing everything it can to prevent crime and keep you safe?
It's being built in an area which has been described as a notorious for antisocial behaviour. What's the difference between this building and the one, like, say, the CBD? What will be there?
Well, one of the key things that policing agencies right around the world appreciate is that you need partnerships to deliver really good results. And those partnerships actually help you get in early, prevent crime, intervene early and disrupt criminal offending, as well as also provide the necessary supports so that you can help people make better choices in life. You can improve family arrangements. You can help young people make good decisions. So having this facility not only in the heart of where there is service need, but also having the facility designed in a way which will be particularly supportive of partnerships and multi-agency response will be really important. We've got a couple of examples around the state where police work alongside other agencies in the same room, in the same building, and we're getting great results as a result of that partnership. So we see that this is a great opportunity to bring government agencies closer together, embed other agency responses in the policing response so we can intervene early and stop the criminal offending cycle.
Anything else we wanted to add we might miss?
Anything else? Patricia, did you want to say anything?
I'll say a couple of words. I commend Queensland Government for this initiative. It is fantastic and hopefully will solve a lot of issues. The role of the Chamber is quite simply to listen, not to tell, to listen to the business community, understand the challenges that they have, and work very closely with our local member, Michael, as well as the QPS themselves, to ensure that we get onto things really quickly. I commend Queensland Government for the local community hearing they had in relation to juvenile crime and how we can tackle that. So it's actually a breath of fresh air to understand that we're all now listening. We all understand that, you know, there's a bigger problem out there. It's not just a matter of arresting a kid and throwing them in a jail. We have to look at the whole picture. But we've got a challenged business community at the moment with everything else that's going on. The last thing we need is crime, actually, on top of that. And I do actually, from what I'm hearing from the business community, we have started to get control of what's going on in the Esplanade because we have a brand, a very powerful brand, and we're just about to welcome with open arms thousands and thousands of tourists to our area, and we want them to take away the brand that we all know and love, which is Cairns, and take it back to their hometowns and encourage others to come. So the work that the QPS are doing, particularly in the CBD as well as the outskirts, will go a long way to assist in that.
I'm just on JobKeeper, sorry,
before you talk. Oh, JobKeeper.
Just one more time.
There's still time to extend it. Still time.
Yeah. 4 days, Chris, it's 4 days.
It's T-minus 48 hours. You know, still really tough time for businesses. What have you sort of been hearing from people on the ground up here?
To be honest with you, it's a mixed response from the business community. Some businesses are really struggling to find staff. So whether that's a JobKeeper or a job seeker issue, the bottom line is we need people to actually start working. So, you know, JobKeeper would be fantastic if it was extended, but there is a challenge of so many people not working at the moment and so many businesses requiring staff. So we know for a fact, I'm sure Michael will support this, we have some accommodation outlets that are actually capping the number of people that can actually stay in their properties because they don't have enough staff to change the beds and clean the toilets. So, you know, they're unskilled jobs and we can't find people to fill them. So, yes, we would love JobKeeper to continue because that's a massive injection of revenue into our destination here and into the businesses here. More importantly, keeping businesses open. We don't want next year, when everybody's vaccinated and the world gets back to some form of normality, we don't want our iconic businesses not open. We have got, as I said earlier, we've got a brand here. We have got fantastic products like Skyrail, for example, like some of the reef boats. We need, when people are coming here, for those things still to be here, still to be up and running. And that's probably the area that JobKeeper is absolutely vital.
I know there are some concerns concerns about skill shortages, especially now we've been seeing that bookings for Easter are bouncing back. Apparently, flights back to pre-pandemic levels in April 2019. So are you yourself concerned that you will see a skill shortage in the coming months?
Oh, 100%. Absolutely, that's one of the key areas that the Chamber is working with state government on at the moment, is ensuring that we can get as many apprentices up and running, as many kids coming out of school, getting jobs right away and not increasing that line at Centrelink. But, you know, on the positive side, we've got a marine precinct down there that's just about to, hopefully seal the envelope on revenue for this region for years and years to come. But again, we need skilled labour down there. We need welders, we need engineers, we need accountants, we need psychologists and psychiatrists. The work that QPS is doing, they probably see it every day. We've got people that need mental health support and we don't have enough people trained to actually do these jobs. So yes, skill shortages is a major issue for us.
Look, tourism for the average person, I think, is a pretty straightforward proposition. Fundamentally, tourism is a complex industry. If we have a look at certain destinations, I had the pleasure last week of attending a conference in Townsville where some of their hotels have been operating at 70, 80%, 90%. That is very different up here. 87% of the, on average, say anywhere between 2 and 3 million visitors a year we get up here in Cairns, get off an aeroplane. So that has been fundamental. So there is a lot of disparity. There are businesses up here that are 60 and 70% international. There are other businesses up here and in other regions like the Whitsundays and the Gold Coast that don't have very little international and they're predominantly domestic. And that's adding to a two-speed economy. Just in relation to the financial advice, it costs money to get financial advice, and the government acknowledges that. So what we have done is we're going to be embedding people, and Cairns is one of those regions, the Whitsundays and the Gold Coast. We will have professional people here who will be able to provide free advice to a point on how these businesses can work their way through at least the next 6 to 8 months. This has come about as a result of a request from industries. When we've had the Premier up here, we've had the Tourism Minister up here, we've had key ministers up here. The feedback has been, we need advice and we can't all afford to pay for it. So the government here has been prepared to put $2 million on the table to say, we'll help you out. Let's see where we go. In relation to JobKeeper, I understand there's about 244,000 Queenslanders who are currently on JobKeeper. I want to begin by saying, yes, well done and commending the federal government for JobKeeper. It needed to happen. And it was a blanket approach. But as we come out of it, we are still not out of this, unfortunately, we're not out of the COVID cloud. It still hangs over us and we're rolling the vaccines and all these positive things are happening. But the capacity for government to be able to sit down and look with a scalpel at which industries are impacted. If you look at our marine industry up here, we were one of the largest employers of marine biologists. Now, they're university educated, qualified people. They have left the industry. They have moved on to other areas. And as Trish was talking about, we're hearing from industry. I spoke to Daniel Gerswin from QTech, and Daniel's been highlighting some of the concerns, not just here, but they're having on the Sunshine Coast, they're having on the Gold Coast. I know they're having, a lot of the tourism industries are having, where you don't have a lot of skilled labour and you don't have a lot of unskilled labour. So we're working with QTech and Daniel Gerswin. And I know also that Minister Farmer has also contributed funds to assist. So we're letting people know that if you want to come up and work in Cairns, you want to come up and work throughout Queensland, there are those opportunities. We do have jobs. And this was always going to be a challenge. It's a good challenge, but it is a little concerning. In relation to the JobKeeper, there would be obvious concerns for businesses that if they lose it, there could be 6 months before we start to see. You've got to change your product sometimes to suit the domestic market if it's been predominantly an international product. So this is a transitional period. Those businesses haven't been extended that transitional period, and that's been a concern.
In the interest of safety, please keep children supervised at all times for your protection and the safety of others. Establish social distancing rules. Stay 1.5 metres from others. Limit gathering in groups to less than 20.